Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Charlotte is struggling with a climbing number of homicides, even as other violent crimes are also on the rise. And in just a few minutes, we hear from CMPD Chief Kerr Putney and Mecklenburg County District Attorney Spencer Merriweather about this troubling statistic. First, though, an update on the suspension of CMS Superintendent Clayton Wilcox. CMS, of course, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools. Ernest Winston has been named acting superintendent, but reasons for his for Wilcox. Suspension are unclear. To learn more, we're joined by Gwendolyn Glenn, our education reporter at WFAE, and by Ann Doss Helms, who doesn't officially start in her new role in that position for a few weeks, but she's jumped in early to help on this developing story. Welcome back to WFAE, or welcome to WFAE. Welcome back to the program. Yes, good morning, good morning. And Gwendolyn, welcome to you.
Good morning.
We first got wind of this story, I think, last Friday when some meetings began to take place at the school board. And then yesterday morning, they met with Clayton Wilcox at 7:30 in the morning. You reported on this yesterday morning during this program. And at 11:08, the board released a statement saying that Clayton Wilcox had been suspended with pay. Do we know yet what led to this?
We're not being told anything at this point. They are saying that it's a personnel matter and that they can't release additional information. We both have made numerous calls to board members. My calls haven't been returned, and they are not releasing anything. They released a couple of emails, but they basically did not say anything beyond, you know, things are going to be on track for when school opens.
Is the way they're handling this their mode of operations normally, or is there something special about this? Don't they usually play this pretty close to the vest?
They do, and I think we saw a version of this, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe 4 years ago now, when Heath Morrison was pushed out. We don't know how similar this is. You know, as much as I, as a reporter, want the information right now, I don't think it's reasonable to expect them to release details at this point, because we don't know what's happening. You know, I think it's likely that we are going to see a change in superintendencies. I think when you do an indefinite suspension, that's kind of a nuclear option. It's very hard to walk back from that, not to say that it couldn't happen, that he couldn't be returned to office. If that happens, I think they would have to give a full accounting to say, this is what we were concerned about, this is how we remedied it, this is how we're moving forward. If Clayton Wilcox leaves in some way, shape, or form in the near future, I think the question is going to be, at that point, do they tell us what was going on?
Yesterday, when we talked about this, Ann, you mentioned that on Clayton Wilcox's Facebook page over the weekend, he put up a note listing a long list of what has been accomplished under his tenure as superintendent. Is that page still up, and would you describe it as more of a defense of his time in office or as an obituary?
Well, I don't know what he saw it as. I mean, he told me, I got him briefly by phone shortly after Monday's meeting with the school board, after which he went home or left the building. He seemed genuinely taken aback by what had happened, even though he wouldn't talk about what it was that had happened. But he can't have been totally surprised. I mean, if the board meets for 5 hours to talk about you and says, we're going to follow up at 7:30 on Monday morning, it's got to at least cross your mind that that's maybe not going to
go
well.
Was he in that meeting on Friday, the five-hour meeting on Friday, Clayton Wilcox? Or was that simply the school
board? I'm not sure, because it was a closed meeting, and I wasn't there.
So one of you talked with him by phone yesterday.
That was me.
That was
Ann.
And he didn't say anything, pretty much, right?
He was very clear about that he had been instructed to refer all questions to the school board, and that it was really, he was not supposed to talk about things.
Yeah, because a lot hang, when things like this happen at that level, ongoing compensation and exit packages are all up in the air, and if you speak out of turn, all of that goes away.
It would be fair to say there are lawyers involved.
Right.
And the potential for appeals.
Right. Yeah. So in January, let's go back in time a little bit, just 6 months ago, he was given this raise, a two-year contract extension, a raise that it was $37,000, and he put in perks over top of what he'd already been making, and it was a unanimous decision on the part of the board. That was 6 months ago. What changed?
I don't think we know. And for me, that's sort of my most of my little reporting hiatus there. So, but I don't think that it was all bubbling up on the surface. I think there were probably some things that were playing out behind the scenes. We feel pretty sure that this whole fingerprinting thing is part of the issue. And that, I was told, bubbled up to the board in late spring.
So let's talk about that, because I didn't know anything about this fingerprinting thing until I read it yesterday. It was reported that Clayton Wilcox, under his leadership, had stopped fingerprinting new employees from July of 2018 to June of this year, which is a violation, I understand, of CMS policy. Have we confirmed that, and do we know why he would have done that, given the heightened security concerns of every public institution today?
No, I haven't talked to him about that, but it's state law as well that if you're going to do background checks, you have to do the fingerprinting. And from my understanding, there are a couple of other districts that are not doing the fingerprinting, but when hiring new employees, it's according to state law, if you're going to do the background checks, you have to do that fingerprinting. So why he decided to go with this company, that fingerprinting was not a part of it, those are things that we have not gotten answers to.
Yeah, we know that in July of last year, he signed a contract with Background Investigation Services, goes by BIB, out of Huntersville.
So, yeah.
We don't know why. We don't know. Surely contracts are run by a lawyer. That seems like the point at which somebody would have reasonably said, you know, we can't drop the fingerprinting. And why that didn't happen, why the flags weren't raised then, or if they were and somebody decided to go ahead anyway, well, those are all the unknown questions.
Or if we're going to drop the fingerprinting, then we can't do background checks anymore.
Yeah, well, he said recently, Wilcox said, that, quote, we dropped the ball because we didn't change the policy before we changed the practice, and that he had paused fingerprinting because surrounding districts had also ended the practice. What does that mean, we didn't change the policy before we changed the practice? Is it his policy to change?
No, it's the board's,
That's
what he would have had to go to the board and say, here's why we think this is a good idea, here's why we need to change our policy. And it doesn't seem like that happened. It doesn't seem like the board was on board with him with this.
Or even included in those conversations.
So given the fact that you can go back now and trace all of the people who have been hired who were not fingerprinted and then fingerprint them, why isn't this just a slap on the hand saying, you screwed up, reinstitute the policy, let's move on? Why take this what appears to be a dramatic step, if in fact that's what this is about?
Well, if in fact that is what it's about, it's a big thing, fingerprinting, in terms of you have people who are coming into the school system who are working with people's children, young children of all ages. So background checks are very important, and I have done substitute teaching in other areas, and that was not even an option to get out of it. So, yeah, I would think that parents would be probably upset to know that you're hiring people who you're not doing thorough background checks on. So it's not like just a minor thing. And who is to say that the board would have even gone along with, let's change the policy where we no longer fingerprint people?
Again, we don't know that this is what this is about.
We don't know.
But this seems to be this seems to have fingerprints all over it. WBTV reported that when the school district attorneys discovered that fingerprinting of new employees wasn't being done, that raised red flags for them, probably because it's state law. And Wilcox has said that as soon as, quote, we knew we were out of compliance, we began the process to get back in. Could he have been ignorant of the state law? I mean, ignorance of the law, I suppose, is no excuse, but nonetheless,
yeah.
Could he have been ignorant of
the
law?
Well, again, if you are the superintendent of a large district, you are supposed to either know and or have staff who will review things and tell you, watch out, don't go down that path because there's a problem.
And then this may, as that old cliche goes, been the straw that broke the camel's back, because there were other things that he was criticized. There were things that he was praised for in terms of his, you know, pushing for equity, pushing for more advanced classes, pushing for more diverse instruction so that students of all colors can find their culture in the instruction. But you also had things, you know, the Butler case where the student was fatally shot at Butler High.
Mm-hmm.
His administration was highly criticized in terms of the lack of communication, in terms of how the response was and the emergency response. And he, after that, said, oh, we're going to hire a crisis director. And I'm not sure that position has been filled at this point. But you had things with the lead water, you know, lead in the water in schools, and parents and the public was upset that they were not told that these tests were being done and that the tests were coming back positive. So it wasn't just probably one thing. This may have been the thing that said, you know, brought everything to a head.
And to kind of pull up on this, this is why it's going to be so important at some point to reveal details.
Right.
Because there is so much at stake. This is more than $1 billion in taxpayer money that he's responsible for overseeing. This is, you know, the safety and well-being of children, of employees. So I think as tempted as the board is going to be to say, we just can't tell you, trust us, we're moving forward, right now I think the credibility of the superintendent and the board are in question. Yeah. Because we're seeing a lot of comments that are saying, what's wrong with this board? They don't seem to be able to hold.
Let's go way back in time, because there seems to be a pattern of behavior here between superintendents and the school and the various school boards that have been in charge over the years, dating way back. I can't even remember how many school superintendents I've talked to over the years, and I've been here for 35 years, 38 years. I've talked to gazillions of them, and they all suddenly disappear in a puff of smoke overnight. They're the greatest thing since sliced bread on Wednesday, but Thursday they're dead meat. What is this about? This happens constantly, and is it particular to Charlotte?
It's not particular to Charlotte.
No.
This is a challenge that every school district faces.
Why? Aren't these people vetted? Don't they know what they're buying?
Well, in some cases, they choose to move on.
Well, yes, sometimes they do, but not here.
Well, Peter Gorman was probably, I think, the last one that, and Ann Clark, I mean, she knew when her time limit was going to be. She's doing some consulting. There's always a lucrative future as a former superintendent.
Well, you wrote that in the Observer, Ann, when you were still with them, that Wilcox was a, quote, registered Republican hired by a Democratic school board, a little-known applicant hired without any public interviews and announced in a press conference he didn't attend. What does that say to you?
Well, and they spent, superintendent searches are not terribly expensive in dollar terms, mm-hmm. as far as a budget, but they are extremely draining. And this one dragged on for a couple of years. There was a lot of angst about, we have got to get this right. You know, we are kind of looking like a district that can't work well with its superintendents. We have got to find the right person. We've got to keep them. This is something that the board really did not want to see happen, I think it's fair to say. So that, again, raises the question of, what did happen that brought them to this point?
And the due diligence, because, say, for instance, when he was in Florida, there were a lot of issues involved with his being superintendent there. And also people from Washington County are coming out saying, we could have told you, you know, he was, you know, they had issues in terms of his leadership as superintendent. That's in Hagerstown, Maryland. So
we only have a minute left, but in the interim, Ernest Winston will serve as acting superintendent. Who is he? Where did he come from, and how long will that
I
last?
I just think it needs to be on the record that a guy who sat next to me in the old Charlotte Observer newsroom covering county government is now in charge of CMS. But in the interim, that's been quite a while ago.
He's now the chief of community engagement, and he's an ombudsman. He's been a teacher. He was the chief of staff for Ann Clark, correct?
Ann Clark and Hugh Hadabaugh and Heath Morrison, I think.
So very quickly, because we have 30 seconds, what will the impact be, since this guy will probably, unless something happens in the next week or so, probably be in charge when school opens? What will it be?
You saw him last night, correct?
I saw him last night. I don't think there's going to be any problem with the day-to-day operation. I think it's the bigger picture and potentially the hiring that's a challenge.
Ann Doss Helms, formerly with The Observer, now with us. Gwendolyn Glenn, formerly with WFAE, now with us. Both education reporters, thank you both for joining us this morning. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.